This podcast is brought to you with limited interruption by Rudy Luther Toyota. Whether looking for an exciting brand new Toyota, a certified pre-owned vehicle, or getting quality routine maintenance and service for your vehicle, Rudy Luther Toyota is the place to go. Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, the Matt McNeil Show for your Wednesday. And do we dare dream the return of Jeff Stein, who apparently was on the talking circuit? I'm going to give him crap. I am going to give him a lot of crap. He was on the speaking circuit last week.
Is he running for president? Launching a third-party bid? I mean, that's typically what you do.
Trump's a bad candidate. Holy God. Wow. Don't tell him I said that.
Would you be his VP?
No, but I might do something like Secretary of like Transportation. I can just go to hide in that job, you know. Roads, yeah, something like that. That's sure. I'll help out your campaign.
Wouldn't you want to be like the ambassador to some like really?
Oh God, that's a great idea.
Another country that's
Canada. Yeah, I wouldn't mind being like Canada wouldn't be bad because Vancouver's great, Montreal's great, Quebec is great, Toronto's great, Ottawa's great. I could easily be like the ambassador to Canada. I mean, it's just, I got to imagine that's going to get me some better, more fish on my limit when I go to a Canadian lake to fish. It's all of a sudden I'm not down to two fish. I'm going to be able to get a little bit more action there. God, that's a great idea. And the flapjacks. You can't beat the flapjacks.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. Pass on the moose sausage, but man, flapjacks all over that action. Or, I mean, if you are going to, send me to something like San Marino or, one of those islands in the Mediterranean that's actually its own country. Hey, I'll be out at the beach, you know. I'd be a great ambassador.
Well, you got your chance to make your pitch in about a little over 20 minutes.
Well, I don't think he's actually running for president. I think he was just basically, as an experienced and lifelong radio professional, he was offering his insight into blah, 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 blah. Oh, I can only imagine the corn speculation that was going on in those speeches. Oh. He can't hear any of this, man. We can't let it. We have to make sure. Make sure he actually does hear about this. It will make for good radio in about 30 minutes. All right. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Okay. Jim, etiquette question for you. I am, as I've been recovering from the car accident, I had to get back to the gym. I'm trying to work certain muscle groups, so I have to use certain machines and stuff like that. What is for you the maximum amount of time someone can be on a machine before you say, oh, come on, man, what are you doing? You know, we had a lot of other people waiting to use the machine. What's the max? Yeah, so like there's a chest press and someone's been on it for, say, 15, 20 minutes. Is that okay? 15, 20 minutes. You're waiting to use it. 15, 20 minutes. There's showing no signs of getting off or anything like that. Is that enough? Or as long as they're still lifting, you know what? Yeah, let them have the machine.
Yeah, I would say on something like that. Maybe 15, 20 minutes would be your limit. I would kind of think something like that. I don't know, because would you have any other places where you could lift? Or
okay, so, well, here's the thing. If you go to the gym, there is one machine that everyone will gravitate towards because it's easy. It's the back one. You know what I'm talking about? You sit down, there's a thing that comes across your back, and lean back into it. It basically targets a very specific group of muscles. But for me, with the broken back, it's that lower back area. That's what I use it for. And you sit down and you cross your arms and you just lean back, and that's what it is. It is usually one of the more popular pieces of equipment. Because there's a lot of people that want to go lift, but don't really want to go lift. I mean, it's hard to kind of go in and grab the weights. You know, it is hard. And especially as you get older and in the day. Woman was on it today, 20 minutes. From the time I looked over, so I have a routine I'm running through, right? Got my little list I'm going through. It's like, okay, it's time for me to do that. Oh, there's someone on it. Okay, I'll go do something else. So I went and did something else. Done with that. Oh, she's still on it. All right, I'll do something else. Oh, okay. She's still on it? Okay. Well, it's been about 7, 8, 9 minutes here. All right, I'll do something else. I proceeded to go through the rest of my entire workout. She was still on it. I'd actually kept track of the time. It was 20 minutes. And I said to myself, okay, she's still on it, but what she's got no weight on it. She's got no weight.
Oh.
And she's leaning back like she's rocking in a chair. And this thing. Now, could that be because she's got an injury? She's doing something like that? Of course it could be. And she was still actively using it. She, as a matter of fact, never stopped. I mean, it was like a rocking chair. She had it, and she just kind of was going back and forth and back and forth. And so I get out there, and I wait. I'm right in front of her. I mean, not right in front of her. It's not like I'm, hello there. You know, I'm 10 feet away, but I'm staring at her saying, you know, clearly I need to get on this piece.
Yeah, you're trying to make your point. That's what I would think someone would have the awareness to know. Well, someone else is kind of in line.
Not even a blink. Yeah. Not even a blink. So I left. I skipped that one today. I left. But it does bring up the interest. What is the proper timeline on something like that?
I would go with self-awareness kind of being your timer, because you should kind of be aware of your surroundings. If a couple of people are standing around kind of looking like they want to get on the machine, that's kind of your signal that if you've been on for maybe 15 minutes, it's time to let somebody else use it.
Well,
if you can go on live, no one else is around. I mean, go on longer by all means.
The problem is if that's what you need to do, if your doctor said going on there for 20 minutes, get on it and do a rocking position, great. I can't believe any doctor has said that, but that's the case. I don't want to do it, but I do actually have to say, I don't think that it's anyone else's concern is there. It just seemed like she basically, you know, plopped herself down on the machine. And this is one thing I've noticed with elderly people, that when they go to the gym they generally like to relax. And I don't have a problem with that. And as like I said, I have a game plan. Oh, okay, you're on that machine, I'll just go do something else. Oh, you're still on the machine, I'll do another exercise. Oh, now you're off. Okay, great, I'll go do that. So 5-10 minutes, easy. I don't have any problem with that. Ugh. Etiquette, people. Decency. Come on. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205 is the phone number. Okay. Do you know it's time for Matt Talks to the Kiddos? Brett, do you know? Hey, kiddos. How's it hanging, home slice? Do you know? Is On Fleek still good? Can I still? That's actually dated.
Yeah, you're 8 or 10 years out of date there.
Got my Zubas on, man. It's rad. Anyway, do you know what a Borg is?
No.
Okay, do you know a Borg, from the Star Trek universe? The half human, half, thing.
No, not really.
They fly around a cube. They're pretty bad guys. They're a good villain. We are not talking that kind of Borg. Borg, in the modern hip youngster kiddo language, stands for Blackout Rage Gallon, and it is indeed all the rage. If you want to see what I'm talking about, go to Racket, and they've got an article on this. The recipe is simple to adapt. Take an empty plastic milk gallon container, okay? Fill it halfway with water, add a fifth of vodka, mix in some flavoring like Mio or the caffeinated kind, or electrolyte powder like a liquid one, IV, a liquid IV. tell you how out of it. Liquid one V. IV, okay. 1-5. The Borg's rise in popularity is tied to TikTok, where its hashtag Borg has matched over 295 million views. The drink gained enough notoriety to be featured in the New York Times article, grape salad, who doesn't love that? A significant number of alcohol intoxication cases have been attributed to Borg at the University of Massachusetts Amherst. I'm presuming where it's called there, a wicked Borg. Yeah, it's something like that. Even if there are electrolytes and water in there, it doesn't negate the fact that there's a tremendous amount of alcohol, up to 16 drinks. Of course, once again, the name as advertised, Blackout Rage Gallon. Dr. Mike Sigliano tells Philadelphia's Fox 29 that one of the many recent moral health panics news stories Borg drinkers have inspired. Why have Borgs suddenly burst into the public consciousness? Well, maybe I might be Generation Z realizing what a crap world they're inheriting and trying to numb the pain of the reality of that they'll never be able to afford a house and likely will never be able to pay off their college in their entire life. But hey, it could be just they want to have a drink. They may say it's college students, concerned parents, childless 30-something alternative news editors. It's... Nice cell phone there, Racket. Is a revolution in binge drinking, a respite for beer pong or flip cup, soon to be banned scourge, akin to the original Four Loko. University of Minnesota journalism student, a 21-year-old, took on the hyper-local deep dive into Borg culture. Are you doing this in your hammock? Is that what it is? Are you doing this with your decorative scarf? Is that what's going on? I created my first Borg. This is first person from this 21-year-old journalist like me. Hey there, fellow kiddos. I created my first Borg using tap water, half a liter of vodka, and market pantry water flavoring. Yum. I was headed for a St. Patrick's Day party last month. That couldn't go wrong. So I chose the lemon-lime variety in hopes of turning my Borg green. After emptying the entire thing into the gallon jug, my Borg had only turned less than attractive yellow. Close enough. It's St. Patrick's Day. You got to be careful, though. Don't let anyone else grab your Borg, especially if they're kind of doing a dance. All right, just never mind. At the party, I descended a set of stairs, flirting aggressively with a fire code violation, entering a dingy, dinking town basement. People instantly recognized what I had, a Borg with me. Bro, is that a Borg? Dude, it's just an empty milk jug. I mean, it's not like you just got, a Kate Spade purse, but I've got a lovely one. I mean, it is a nice purse. I will say that. What's its name? That's part of the culture. Borgs have names. All right. That's it's a thing. Barack Borgama. There are plenty of punny Borg names that are out there. As a matter of fact, the We Adulting site has 60 of them. Borg to be wild, Borg time rush, certified lover Borg. Who's a good Borg? Justin B. Borg. Borgasm, Borg meets world, Borgman Freeman, Curious Borg. Saturday are for the Borgs, our Borg and Savior. Soldier Borg. Borg and Wallen. Breakin Borg. Baden Borgie. Lightning McBorg. James LeBorg James. Okay. We are never getting Borg together. Captain Borgen. Sponge Borg SquarePants from Borg to Morg. From Borg O'Clock Somewhere. Jason Borg. Borgina. The Borg Who Lived. The Borg or Do Not Borg. Borg Around and Find Out. Ricky and Borgie. Early Borg Catches the Worm. Joe Borgen. Wow. Wake Up to a New Borgatti. Oh No Step Borg, Dinkle Borg, Another Borg, Avengers Infinity Borg, Go Borgs, Legally Borg, I Think Therefore I Borg, Breaking Borg, Borger Patrol, Borgs Are Us, Regina Borg, Pablo Escaborg, Heisenborg, Super Borg 57, Plan Borg, Borgs to Men, Borgalicious, Hit Me Borgie One More Time, Borg This Way, A Hot New Borg Shell Has Entered the Villa. I can't say that one. Borg Straight. Let's Have a Borgie. Count Borgula. Borg Life. How to Fake a Borgasm. In and Out Borger. Let's Exborg Each Other's Bodies. Worg. And I Like Big Borgs. I Cannot Lie. You probably more than you wanted to know, isn't it? The Borg this one had was not didn't have a name, which is a major faux pas. You have to name your Borg. Borg names have to be catchy. This journalist used Mikhail Borgachev. Bravo. On the spot thinking there, that's coming up with it quick. Borgus Yeltsin might have been a better one, though. Hindsight is 2020. My Borg has been christened, thus making me legitimate. Yeah, sure going to be legitimate. You're drinking a gallon of booze. I soon discovered that Mr. Borgachev wasn't the only Borg-like mix in the room. Another reveler, Haley, had also mixed a concoction. And a spirited discussion, we insisted, but hers was in a water bottle, not in a milk gallon jug. Henceforth, they determined that Borg must be in a gallon jug because nothing looks more attractive than that. The plastic gallon jug does make a Borg. Hallie concluded, Borg also has to be Borgalicious, though my drink is close. As the night wore on, Borg and the mystery amount of vodka it still contained grew increasingly intimidating. So instead of allowing it to take the wheel, I gave up leaving it behind at the party while my friends... Oh, yeah, I'm sure that survived. One way or the other. Of course, it is a milk gallon jug with a yellowish fluid in it. It's one way or the other. It was destroyed fairly quickly. They went in search of pizza. The argument here is that especially if you put electrolytes and you put water in there, it kind of nullifies the amount of hangover you have the next day. But I would make an argument, if you're drinking that much freaking liquor, it ain't going to go well.
Yeah, I have not heard about this thing, but are you going to make your own Borg?
That's already done, my friend.
The Borgressive voice of Minnesota.
The Borgress, that's it. The aggressive Borgressive. There you go. Mwah. Mwah.
We'll see you walking in with a Borg big jug.
Borg McNeil. Just go Borg McNeil. It's Borg McNeil. You're welcome, youth culture. I'm glad I could apply. Dude, don't drink a freaking gallon of booze. I get it. You're young. Me nowadays, I have coffee after 7 o'clock. I'm like, I'm ruined for the night. Don't drink and drive. Be careful. And if you do have a catchy Borg name, 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205, it's the Borg McNeil Show. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's AM 950, the progressive voice, the Borgressive voice of Minnesota. Thanks to Ron with Borg on the 4th of July. Nicely done.
That's better than a lot on the list they had supplied.
Well, if you want to make something really uncool really fast, have a lot of older people chime in on it. Real. This will take care of the Borg culture really fast.
You know, that's a great point. No need to make PSAs to run on radio and TV. Yeah, just have a...
Hey, I made some up with my vitamin drink. Look, I've got a Borg, too. I call mine Ernest Borg 9. Just drive that cultural moment right off the cliff. By the way, if you are watching us, we have made the determination during the break that I should not be wearing a white shirt on this camera. No, I actually, that is one pasty white Matt McNeil. No, that actually is just the shirt. There is apparently, I can at least see the difference between my shirt and my skin, but not so much on the camera. Call me Edgar Winter. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. launches his unlikely bid for the Democratic presidential nomination Wednesday with the support of 14% of voters who backed President Biden in 2020, said an exclusive USA Today Suffolk University poll. They call it a surprising strength. I say 14% is the most you're going to get because you have more pictures with you, with Mike Flynn, Roger Stone, and Steve Bannon than you do want to have if you have any chance of becoming the Democratic nominee.
I'm betting a lot of those are people like, I don't like Joe Biden. We'll just go with whoever else they name.
It's basically, he's a famous political name, but is not known for most of his, as a champion of debunked conspiracy theories, blaming childhood vaccines for autism. Yeah, he's nutsoid, man. In the survey taken Saturday through, we used to have him on Ring of Fire, right? He used to be on Ring of Fire years ago in the station.
I think years ago, maybe.
Yeah, yeah. And just, you could hear him going, the car going off the cliff at times. He just started becoming more and more convinced of, you know, they got tracker chips, you know, and stuff like this. And dude, it's just, ugh. Survey taken Saturday through Tuesday, only 67% of Biden's 2020 supporters said they would support him for the Democratic nomination over his current challengers. 67%. Let me just explain something to you. He's going to, that would be an ass kicking. He will win. As a matter of fact, he is a fairly safe bet. Trump is still, I think, in like the 45%. I think this whole story is just the tone of this story is definitely to try to say, well, we can't let the Democratic race get out of control. Now the Democratic race is over. Joe Biden's going to win the nomination if he chooses to run again. Which he still has, to my knowledge, has not. I mean, did I miss anything when I was on vacation? I don't think I did. He's running. He hasn't announced necessarily, made an official kickoff. But, you know, it's, you know, if he does run, he's going to win again. Schechter even said it. He said, you know, he's the incumbent. You vote for the incumbent. And frankly, considering all the good things that he has done in his first 2 years, he deserves another term in office if he wants to. Now, granted, his age is a little bit of an issue. But, I mean, I look at him as he came out of Ireland, for goodness sakes. He looked like a rock star for, you know, it's, you know, beloved. So, Kennedy stands at 14%. Self-help author Marianne Williamson. Did you interview Marianne Williamson? Was that you that did that, or was that
I did not, then? But we did have her on, yeah. Early in that 2020 campaign.
Yeah, no. She's got 5%. They call her the quixotic candidate. I got a different word for her, but okay, fine. 13% were undecided. The poll was taken by landline to cell phone and cell phone of 600 Biden voters identified from national and state polls from 2020 to 2022 as a margin error of plus or minus 4 percentage points. So even say all the percentage points go Biden's favor, it's 71% for Biden. This is not in debate. And it would be one thing if, and I'm just mentioning a name of a younger person. I have no knowledge of anything. I don't know if he's trying to or what. But if Gavin Newsom or say Dean Phillips wanted to run, maybe that might change. That might change. I'm not saying it would, you know, be enough to knock off Biden, but it might change. We'd have to see. But I can tell you right now that there is Robert F. Kennedy Jr. will not be the next president of the United States of America. And just he's Democrats who don't know anything about him will say, oh, a Kennedy. Oh, I didn't know there is still a Kennedy that's running. And then all of a sudden you see the photos of him with arms around Roger Stone, arms around, you know, he's just. His desire for the conspiracy theory has driven him well off any kind of reasonable platform into the arms of people who are giddy, giddy, mind you, at the concept of having a Kennedy run that they can back with Michael Flynn money, Roger Stone money, Steve Bannon money, as they cackle about trying to create a wedge. And, you know, it's if I can. Now, this wasn't the same thing. I mean, what was it? Edward Kennedy back in 1980, I believe, ran against Carter. He said that he wanted people to have a choice. Carter, once again, ran. Carter was not exactly the most popular president, but he pretty much overwhelmingly won. He wanted to run again. That was his, you know, that was his call. And so I think this, to a point, I almost wonder if this is Robert F. Kennedy Jr. just trying to find some way to stay relevant in the modern news cycle. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back, Stein. Oh, yeah, we'll talk a little bit about Fox News and what happened there. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Jeff. Jeff
Stein's our national and presidential expert, noted author. You can find his books over at Next Chapter Books and TotallyIowa.com. The Iowa Business Report and the Iowa Politics Report come to us from KXEL, where Jeff Stein has decided to saunter on over from his busy speaking schedule, lecturing schedule across Iowa.
There's a paycheck involved.
Oh, well, we're not going to argue with it. I mean, we asked the question, are you running for president? I mean, that's where the people usually go speak in Iowa.
No, I'm not actually going to any pizza ranches. That would tell you that I was running for president if I had an event at a pizza ranch.
Or you were Kirk Cousins.
also very possible. You moved your camera.
Well, yeah. Well, we actually have a camera that works now because the other one was glaucoma central. So it's basically one that's here that you can actually see me. Plus the fact that they put the original camera was put in possibly the worst position in this studio. So now I can look straight into your eyes, Jeff Stein.
Yeah. And you see, that's why I don't think that was the worst position. because before I'd log into this stream and I'd see a grumpy man hunched over his phone at a counter, but there was some distance and it wasn't so frightening. And I log in today and it's like, boom, full screen McNeil.
Oh, well, it is. Well, it is full screen McNeil, which, of course, once again, if I can promote my OnlyFans page, it's all sorts of a full screen McNeil. Just enjoy yourself. You can find the OnlyFans page. It's out there. If you can find it, good luck.
But you have a link? What do you mean? If you find it, good luck. This is bad marketing on your part.
Well, no, it's not bad marketing because it's a little game I've got. I've set it up. It's okay. Out there. If you can find it, bon voyage.
All right. Challenge accepted.
I don't know if you want to necessarily say I'll be searching OnlyFans extensively tonight, but okay, Jeff, if that's the way you're going. I see.
Well, it says the connection failed. So obviously that's the scam right there.
I don't blame you. Distance is a good thing. I got into radio because no one saw me. Now all of a sudden everything's changed. Okay. I want to really quick here. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. He's going to run as the Democratic nominee. He's got 14% in the poll. That's as much as he's going to get. I mean, he's got too many Roger Stone and Michael Flynn pictures. There's just no way in the planet he's going to get anywhere close. I understand Kennedy, they fall in love with the idea of it, but the right does, so that there's conflict within the Democratic primary. But the reality is, I think that he's already at his maximum extension, because the minute people start seeing, oh, he's hanging around Steve Bannon, well, that's the end of that.
Well, and even before that, if you just take the COVID out of it,
yes,
he already had some, shall we say, issues with regard to vaccinations.
Yes.
And members of the family distanced themselves from him dating back prior to the last 5 years. I think it was CNN.com that had a very nice extensive piece talking with all manner of Kennedys about how, and the tone was like this, Matt. It was, we love Bobby, but we're going to support Biden.
Yeah.
And so truly, what they are afraid of is that there's going to be some event in Massachusetts with Joe Biden on the stage and 10 different members of the Kennedy family all saying, we love our brother / uncle / cousin / whatever, but we're going to stay with the incumbent. And it's actually pretty well true. So many people, when they enter the race, that's as good as it's going to get. I mean, remember the Colin Powell phenomenon. Everyone said, oh, if he just would run for president, and then he announced, and that was the height of his support.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, especially when you realize that, I mean, and the Kennedy name, it doesn't have as much weight to it as it used to do, not anymore. No. And I think that, the John F. Kennedy Jr., when he was around, maybe might be able to reignite that family flame. But I just don't think that it's not, especially with him, it's clearly not going to be there.
Well, and the other thing that the CNN piece that I read it was an interesting take, where this current generation, not even Bobby Sr.'s generation, the younger generation, they're saying it's been so removed from President Kennedy, from Senator Robert Kennedy, the world is so removed from that, everyone's impression of the Kennedys is this guy and his stance on vaccinations. And they don't want that to be the legacy. Mm-hmm. Because if you think of how long has Teddy Kennedy been gone, sadly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, you start adding this up and pretty soon it's a what have you done for me lately field. Politics always has been. But this is what a number of the younger members of the family are concerned about, is that the higher profile he gets, that's what they think the whole family will be seen as being behind him.
Well, is there one Kennedy who's like, what, a House rep in Rhode Island or something like that? I know there's the Republican Kennedy out of Louisiana, the senator, but is there
no relation?
Yeah, no, but
clearly no relation. But I'm not even sure that there one of Teddy's sons was a rep from Rhode Island, but I'm not even sure who holds elective office anymore. Mm. Certainly nobody in the U.S. Congress. And again, that's the first time in, 50 years.
Yeah.
When Joe the Third retired.
The Fox News, the begging. I mean, let's face it. They delay the trial on Monday because Fox is desperate to get this thing off. Fox wanted two things. One, they did not want to have their hosts on every other network testifying that, yep, that basically we knew it was a lie and we were lying to our own viewers, that would have been it would have destroyed the network. Especially to have Tucker Carlson, their most beloved, the Hannitys and the Carlsons, out there basically saying, yep, we knowingly lied to the American people. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you know, they were able to, avoid from having to admit guilt, which I think was a little bit of a generosity from Dominion. But when they're throwing $787 million out there, it truly was a big bite out of Fox News in regards to the size of the check.
Well, and in fact, I think I did see something where they had to say statements were made that were wrong. I mean, you know, that's as good as you're going to get, but that clearly is an admission. If you wanted to settle it, Matt, as a nuisance case, that's a term of art in the law. In other words, it's not with any merit, but we'll throw some money at the other side because we're going to have to spend money defending ourselves and time, et cetera. If it were a nuisance settlement, you'd have made it a year ago. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't make it as the jury is being seated. This is clearly everybody hedging their bets. And this is the thing from the Dominion standpoint, frankly. You get $750 million. Now, that's half of what you were asking, but hello, you were asking for a lot. And this could have, in one respect, gone either way. You could have gotten a jury that said, all right, it's the whole $1.5 billion, or they might have said nothing. And so from this standpoint, Fox is able to get out cheap. Dominion has something certain, and that's what they wanted was cash. What I find fascinating is the damage is already done because of the release of the depositions. Mm-hmm. Now, yes, would it have been showy for Tucker Carlson to get up there and say under oath what he had said in a deposition, mm-hmm. which was, yeah, I know we're blowing smoke. The thing that I find fascinating, though, is who just got a sit down with Donald Trump? Tucker Carlson, the same guy whose texts were released as saying that he hates Trump, he thinks Trump is a charlatan, et cetera, et cetera. Is the whole thing nothing more than pro wrestling?
Well, but you know, Trump needs, he has to beat down DeSantis now, and he's doing it. He's doing it very effectively. DeSantis is not helping his cause, and he knows that Tucker still has a lot. I mean, how many times have I seen Jordan Klepper from The Daily Show go talk to these guys out of these Trump rallies, and they'll say, I don't watch Fox News outside of Tucker. I mean, Tucker still has a lot of pull within the right-wing community, and so I think that whereas I guarantee you behind closed doors is probably very angry at Tucker Carlson. He's willing to put on because he needs Tucker Carlson to make sure DeSantis never gets any traction.
And I'm not going to argue that point too strongly, but he was on Two Nights with Hannity. He was on with Mark Levin on the weekend. You know, then all of a sudden now it's Two Nights with Tucker. It's almost like Tucker needed it to retain the base with his audience that the grand man Trump would allow him to come in and do an interview. Because, I mean, it's the Trump network otherwise, whereas for a very long time, you couldn't find Trump anywhere on the network. He was on Real America's Voice. He was on Newsmax, but not so much on Fox. Now the lawsuit's is done. It's just a very interesting thing that I'm trying to figure out whether Carlson needed Trump more than Trump needed Carlson. Mm-hmm. You know, because again, to your point about the base, it's saturation. It's overkill. But to your point about DeSantis, you know, if you're trying to show strength out of the box, this is the worst script. I mean, here's how bad the week went for DeSantis. He wanted to go to Washington to meet with members of Congress. Former congressman himself wanted to meet with members of Congress, do a little arm twisting, and get some endorsements. And while there in the shadow of the Capitol, he can talk about the radical Biden administration. That was the phrase he used. So what does Trump do from afar? He gets not one, not two, but three members of the Florida congressional delegation to declare their support for him, Trump, as DeSantis comes to Washington. Trump got more endorsements from the Florida delegation from 1,000 miles away than DeSantis did on Capitol Hill. That really, I mean, Politico has a great tale that they've told about this where it's an example of how DeSantis has no connection with people.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I mean, well, I'll just look at this whole thing of I'll put a prison next to Disney World. You know, even your own party is like, okay, enough with this. He bought his own. You said this. How many times have you said this about a candidate over the many years you and I have talked? He's buying his own damn press. And if he can't realize what he's making up versus what's reality, then he is screwed. And really, right now, DeSantis, I mean, this whole thing of extending the Don't Say Gay now to 12th graders and stuff, he's just frantically flailing, trying to get back that mojo he had earlier. But the reality is he basically was already convinced he was beating Trump, and you know, here comes Trump to basically say you're not even close.
And it's because, again, he's making these unforced errors.
Yeah.
One of the congressmen from Florida who announced that he would support Trump is a fellow by the name of Greg Stube. And Stube said that DeSantis has been governor for 5 years, roughly. Mm-hmm. Not once has anyone from the governor's office, the political side, reached out to the congressman at all. Zero. Until they wanted an endorsement and they got a phone call. Stube then points out he was the one who was on a ladder trimming trees and fell and had to go to the ICU. I mean, this happened over the Christmas holiday. He was at home doing work in the yard and fell off the ladder and, you know, about killed himself. Well, in any case, Stube tells the story that the first person who called him in ICU was Trump. Mm. It's now April, and he's waiting for DeSantis' call. So when you have no rapport with these people, which is apparently the case, the Texas congressman, I can't remember his name right off the bat, Lance something, Gidden maybe, he walks out of the meeting with DeSantis, and the press is assembled, and he says, I'm here to declare my support for Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. I mean, does it get a lot worse? So now, if that were the case, Matt, you're an experienced political hand. Wouldn't you say, okay, let's just focus on the Florida legislature. Let's just focus on getting things together here at home. Enough of the trips to Ohio to go to the Florida First Lady School. We're just going to kind of regroup. No, their reaction to how this is going in the ditch is to say, you know what? Instead of announcing our candidacy in June, we're going to do it a month earlier in May. Why? So you can be done by Independence Day? Okay. Mm. Fine.
Well, and can I point out something? There is a method to the madness of all this stuff, of how you run for office. You mm-hmm. and I have talked, can a guy from Florida win? If mm-hmm. you think you're in Florida, and clearly people in Florida think Florida is the only state that matters. And that is the truth. They love their right. Florida, and they're there.
Yep.
Why are you not more in Iowa? You should be in Nevada. You should be in New Hampshire. And I get it. You're still trying to run a state. But every free moment you have, you should be in these first few states. I mean, South Carolina is just up the road. It's 2 hours from Jacksonville to get to South Carolina, yet you're not doing that. You're just basically, you know, patting yourself around on the back as you run around Florida for the most part, saying, isn't Florida great? You're not resonating. And considering how really within the Republican corner, Trump is loved in those early battleground states, maybe not Nevada as much, but in Republicans in New Hampshire, Republicans in Iowa, Republicans in South Carolina, you need to start getting into those states. And he says, Florida's here. We're going to solve it all. And it is, you know, that is a message that is falling really, really flat.
Well, and to that point, campaign trip, quote, book tour, campaign trip to Ohio.
Yes.
Ohio. Yes, you need it in November of Oregon. Next year. Yeah, while you're there, let's just go alphabetically. Well, and again, he's doing the book tour. Did he come to make two stops in Iowa? Yes. You know, big deal. Is he coming back to Iowa? Sure. But again, what was happening in Florida last week? Flooding.
As you're seeing these pictures, these drone pictures of an underwater town, I mean, it's just, he's failing horrifically, which is I'm enjoying because he's kind of a jackass, but still, I mean, it's really amazing how badly he is trying to start this off. Did we lose Jeff?
Yeah, we just lost Jeff.
All right, let's say perfect. I'll tell you what, perfect day. We'll take a break, come back, we'll get Jeff back online. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. I got to talk to him about two more things with Fox News. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950. AM 950. 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, the Matt McNeil Show. We lost Jeff. We actually lost the, I think the computer crashed in there. That was carrying the live stream. We'll get that camera back up here before too long. But Jeff is kind enough to join us via the phone. Hi, Jeff.
So what was really funny is I was listening to you wax eloquently, and all of a sudden your signal spun like it was going down a drain, and I was the only picture on the live stream. So I just kept doing the show for a while because I had no idea. And then I figured out, okay, maybe I should just disconnect.
Oh, well, so, it's...
What it is the fact that you just talked smack about future President Ron DeSantis.
Oh, God.
And you lost your internet.
Well, now we're getting a prison right next...
How does that make you feel?
We're getting a prison right next to the radio station. Can you believe that? Jeez.
Private prison. Privately funded prison.
I want to go back to Fox News. A lawyer said, yes. He said, and let's talk about the 787, because there are a lot of, especially people on the left, who are depressed that this trial didn't happen, that there wasn't more groveling from Fox News. He said, you have to look at the amount of money Fox News is paying out here. In an early settlement to avoid going to trial, usually you're seeing 10%, maybe 20% of what's being asked for, just to basically, right, you know, kind of get rid of this. The fact that they almost got, and it just shows you how desperate Fox News was to get this trial out of the way. The fact that they almost got 50% of what they were initially asking for, that's a pretty big deal.
Oh, no, and that's what we were talking about earlier when I was talking about the definition of a nuisance lawsuit. If it's just a nuisance and you're just paying people to go away, you do it a long time ago and you pay a lot less. When you show up, select a jury, and then offer half, that is massive.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm sure if I went to the Fox News website, I'd see full coverage of this. Oh, wait, no, I don't. And that's another thing. I mean, they're not even covering their own issue, because it's such an embarrassment. They needed it to go away, and, you know, the Dominion wanted some secure cash, and that's why they took the bird in the hand, as opposed to going through a full trial and having something go sideways on them.
The Smartmatic case is still out there. That's $2.6 billion, and many people have chimed in. That's actually a tougher case for Fox News, that they actually have a stronger case there. Someone said that Fox News's total on-hand cash was $4 billion. 787 of that just went out the door. So you basically, a fifth of your, you know, a fifth of all your money is gone. Your, if Smartmatic, I can't imagine they're going to look at the, considering they're asking for 2.6, it's going to have to be somewhere around a full billion or more for them to make that case go away, if Smartmatic wants to do that, because I think that they do want the apologies.
Well, and what it may come down to is how close are they to trial? If the settlement is soon, then they don't have as much time into it, and so therefore you can settle for a lesser amount. If you do your whole trial prep, that's where you really get, and then show up and settle at the courthouse door, that's where you're really talking about 50 and 60% of the total. But you're right, it sets the floor, doesn't it? If you're Smartmatic, are you going to settle for any less than Dominion did? I doubt it.
I would say that, as a matter of fact, and Dominion does seem to be getting some people are upset. They backed them on this case. They've been out there, and they're you know, walking away. Don't get me wrong. I don't think that they're too upset about it. $787 million will make a lot of problems go away for a lot of people. But reminder, the company is still functioning. I mean, the company is still going. You know, as much as people on the right like to think they can shut down companies, Bud Light's still making a lot of beer. But you know, you do have this on the other side here. One of these days, I mean, it's going to be interesting if Fox News goes down this path. And it should be mentioned, most of the rulings so far in that case have come down the same exact path as Dominion, that there is clear, you know, culpability here by Fox News. We're going to go to trial. I just, if they do want to go down that path, I mean, it really might break Fox News if it does get to a point where people have to come in and testify in court.
Well, the Murdoch boys, Rupert's sons, are watching their inheritance slip through their fingers.
Yes.
And they've been trying to turn this whole thing around as quickly as they can. But it's that's why the company has been split a few times. They try to insulate themselves. The thing is, when you sue public figures, you've got to show that there was malice, as in knowledge of falsity. And when you've got the lead talent of Fox admitting that they knew what they put on the air was wrong, that's a slam dunk case, generally speaking. And then the question is just, what's it worth?
Well, how much longer is Maria Bartiromo going to be there? Because I got to believe, I mean, really, when you look at the $787 million, that's a lot on her head. I can't believe Fox is going to want her to keep her around and pay her a paycheck after doing this.
Well, they got rid of Lou Dobbs immediately.
Yeah.
I mean, that was, you know, the moment Trump left office. And she's got a delicate situation there, except it's not as high profile as people like Carlson saying, I detest Trump, or I'll sit down across the table from him and do an interview. I mean, it's, again, pro wrestling, and it's really shady.
Jeff Stein, once again, books at Next Chapter Books. The Iowa Politics Report will post later. Good to have you back, Jeff. I missed you. We'll take a break. Hour two, that's coming up next. Hour number two of the show today, Matt McNeil Show. Borg 952. Gotta go listen to the first hour if you want to understand this. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. We did reboot the computer. Are we back up broadcasting a camera image?
Not quite yet.
All right. If all of a sudden you see something that makes you go, Casper? That's me. Sorry. My bad. That is one pasty white man. Yes, it is. 952-946-6205. Get ready for the 924. Do you know about the 924?
I do not.
The 924 is the new area code for the southern part of the state.
Oh, we got a brand new area code.
We're going to get a new area code down there. Apparently, enough people down there, and I guess that doesn't surprise me. I mean, Rochester alone has got to have to be, you know, Rochester and Austin and Albert Lee have got to be enough there to kind of send you over the top. They are getting ready to, in 2025, they will run out of numbers if they just keep the 507. So they're adding in the excitement, the pageantry, the magic of the 924 down into southern Minnesota. So, it 612-507, 218, those are good numbers. This 994, what are you doing? What are you doing, man? That's not an area code. Area code smack, courtesy of Matt McNeil. I'm surprised, considering no one ever uses a freaking phone anymore, that they are running out of phone numbers. Maybe the better idea would be to figure out a new way to connect the devices that no one ever makes a phone call on, and see if that is if that would be the case. Maybe that might be the way to do it. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. It's happened again. We had a group of people trying to cross the border at the U.S.-Canadian border, and it's cold up there. A group of nine people who had mostly crossed the U.S.-Canadian border illegally were found suffering from exposure and harsh weather conditions near Warrod on Tuesday. The Royal Canadian Mounted Police received an emergency call from a member of the group early Tuesday morning, according to the U.S. Customs and Border Protection. Its agents responded approximately at 4:50 a.m. The group was located in a flooded bog west of Warrod, according to CBP. Agents tended to the group before the first responders arrived, and the individuals were transported to regional medical facilities for treatment. Were they found in Canada? I mean, it says if it was found west of Warrod, that would lead me to believe that was in-house, you know, that in Minnesota, not in Canada. But they called the Canadians. Maybe it's a case where the Canadians are the closest. There's some of that stuff happens, man. I know, especially on the big lakes, on like Lac La Croix and Rainy Lake up on the border. If, you know, the Canadians are the closest ones, even though it might be American waters, they'll zip over there to try to save someone. They're not going to, no, we can see you, but that 100 yards between us and that, that's the United States water. That's not us. So, you know, try to swim. You know, and hopefully the guy will get here soon. Agents determined seven of the nine travelers entered the United States illegally, didn't have any legal documents permitting their presence in the United States. So they were in the U.S., but the Canadians helped respond. Well, we shot down that balloon over Canada, over, was it Yukon territory? I believe it was.
Yeah, that was, yeah.
Yeah, we sent our jets in there. I guess save you. The Canadians have an Air Force. I mean, we're saving you a few bucks just because we're closer in Alaska? Like, apparently so. That's Manitoba's a big province. We got to go all the way up there? Yes. I have a little question about that. Don't get me wrong. I understand. We are Canadian friends. I like Canada. It's a good country. I'm kind of surprised you're so, hey, United States, you want to come in and have some target practice. You're Canadians. You can't have had too much of this. When was the last time the Canadians were in a military battle? You know, you go fire off one of those rusty rockets and see if you can knock out a Chinese spy balloon. I think you'd want to do that. Apparently not. The investigation is continuing. I would say this. If you are trying to cross the northern border of Minnesota in winter-like conditions, come on in. You want to be in here that bad? Come on in. The least we can do. Get them on in here. Get them set up. You know, help them out. And, you know, let them know that they're welcome here. And, you know, because clearly they're doing things to get into the state most people in this state would not do to get into this state. So I don't have any problem with that at all. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. So Todd Colid sponsors AM950. I want to make sure I mention once again that Lifeline Ukraine is the organization that he is helping to support in Ukraine. Once again, the Russians, horrible, invading Ukraine, slaughtering children. And there have been some stories out lately that show that the Russians indeed have been targeting children, annihilating everything in Ukraine, stealing anything that they can, and then flattening anything that's left behind. That's what the Russians have been doing. The Ukrainians, not only the people in these war zones, but the entire country has been affected adversely. And as you can imagine, not only do they need military equipment, not only do they need medical equipment, not only do they need food and other humanitarian equipment, they also need mental health care. And that's what Lifeline Ukraine offers: mental health services and suicide prevention for Ukrainians, not only the Ukrainians in the country, but as well Ukrainians worldwide. A lot of the people have left. But even if you've left, you can still call Lifeline Ukraine, get in touch, and talk with someone that is understanding your situation. It is God's work. It is just the work of angels, what Lifeline Ukraine is doing. And I can't support them enough. If you can make a donation, I got a link up on my social media pages. Click on Lifeline Ukraine, make a donation, help those people out. And bless you, Ukraine. I'm hoping these reports that you guys are going to have a spring offensive, I hope they're true, because it'd be nice. You've already done magnificently. Holy God. Have you guys done great just completely exposing the Russians for the fraud that they are? It'd be hilarious to watch you guys run them out of your country. Trust me, that will be some good times. 952-946-6205. All right. I saw this story today. I've got a lot of questions here. A former Minnesota Gophers football star was called a racial slur during a daylight attack by a white man who fired a gun in South Minneapolis Alley, the confrontation ending only after police persuaded the suspect to drop his weapons, and he was arrested according to charges. Now, Brett, without sharing any other information, tell me something you pretty much have just figured out about the guy with the weapons.
I'm thinking he might have some problems with people who aren't white, among other things.
Indeed. He himself, very white. White guy with multiple weapons he's fired off. Not dead in Minneapolis. Not shot in Minneapolis. Okay. Eric M. Jaggers, is it J-A-G-E-R-S, Jaggers, 54, was charged Monday in Hennepin County District Court with second-degree assault with a dangerous weapon and threats of violence with reckless disregard in connection with the event that occurred late Friday afternoon in the 4,000 block of 17th Avenue South. The victim, 44-year-old Tellus Redman, the running back. I remember when he was there with the Gophers.
Oh, yeah, I remember him too, yeah.
Running back for the University of Minnesota football team from 99 to 2001 is a special education paraprofessional and an assistant football coach for the Cooper High School, Robbinsdale Cooper. So he must live in Minneapolis, and he teaches over at Cooper. And by the way, you know, bless you, my God, what a great career, you know, great football career. But then to turn this into working as a special education paraprofessional, working with the kids at Cooper, nicely done. Absolutely you can't question that man's success. He basically escaped without injury despite the gun being fired next to his head as the two fought for the weapon, police said. Jaggers was arrested that evening, remains in jail in lieu of $100,000 bail. He appeared in court on Tuesday afternoon, has another hearing set for May 18th. Police Chief Brian O'Hara released a statement Wednesday praising his officers for making the arrest in a peaceful and professional manner. The chief said that despite Jaggers walking... Okay, stop. All right, I want everyone to stop. I want you to listen to this. Now, I can only hope this is Chief O'Hara, who, for the record... He seems to be trying. He seems to understand the crap sandwich he's inherited there. And I at least at times am seeing someone who is trying to change the culture of the Minneapolis Police Department. So, you know, I'm willing to give O'Hara the chance here. I hope this is the universal policy, not just the white guy with the gun policy. Because when you hear what Minneapolis police did, you'll be kind of like, okay, that's not what happens when black people have guns at all, even close. So hopefully we are seeing a new policy being put forward that will be applied equally and fairly across the board. The chief said that despite Jaggers walking toward the officers while armed, they exercised extreme restraint and took the individual safely into custody. It is but one example of the countless times our cops faced dangerous suspects and rise to the occasion, putting their lives on the line to ensure community safety. The person had placed himself, his neighbors, and our officers in immediate danger, and he must now face the consequences of his actions. Couldn't agree more. Jagger sounds like he was out of control. We'll get to that a little bit here. But you do understand, I'm still remembering the Stallings videos. An African-American man, a veteran, legally carrying a gun at a gas station in Minneapolis, minding his own business, not breaking the law. An unmarked police vehicle pulls around the corner and starts opening fire on him without announcing that they're police or anything. He gets tagged. He himself is getting shot directly, even though he's not done anything wrong. He pulls his legally owned gun as a veteran, is smart enough to say, I don't want to kill these people, but I need to basically scare them off, fires at the ground. It was at that point that all of a sudden, all the police officers in that van storm out and say, we're the police. Really? And they storm him and proceed to beat the living daylights out of him in the street, because how dare you shoot back at unknown white attackers? You did that. Here is a guy who clearly was out of control. I'm glad you guys did your job. I would hope that this is, like I said, the beginning of change, because this is quite literally two different Minneapolises. And you got this guy who was armed, who was clearly threatening police, and he's alive. As opposed to when you do a no-knock warrant, wake someone up and think, well, you know, boom, better, you know, better safe than sorry. Let's just kill the guy. Before you get mad at me, this is what you guys have done. So I hope O'Hara is putting some new policies in place. I hope these same officers, if the individual was black, even if it's the same case, was just belligerent, that they would offer the same options for the black suspect as the white one. We'll have to see. At one point during the assault, Jaggers told Redman he was a firefighter and would avoid getting in trouble because he knows police. The charges read. Jaggers retired in February from the Minneapolis Fire Department after 24 years, according to city records. Now, let's talk about that. Does anyone really doubt that? I mean, that was probably the most truthful thing that came out of his mind, out of his mouth. You're a black guy. I'm a white guy. I worked with the fire department. I can threaten you at any point. I'll just go to the police and tell them it was you, and they're going to believe me. That checks out. That's on brand. Yeah. So it's more head scratching with this one. Like I said, I hope I kind of like Chief O'Hara. I kind of do. I think that I honestly do think that this guy's heart's in the right place, and he's inherited a bad police department that needs fixing, and he's doing the best he can with what he's got. That being said, I'm hoping this is the first of many cases like this, as opposed to how the white people who are committing crimes get treated versus how the black people who may or may not be committing crimes get treated. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, the Matt McNeil Show. 952-946-6205. So let's dive back into the case of Mr. Jaggers. Here, this is the former retired Minneapolis firefighter who decided to brandish a gun with the former Gopher running back Redman. And not only, and obviously, and I'm going to get to some racial elements here in a second, but it's the way this conflict ended is basically very different than conflicts end with black people, regardless of whether they've done a crime or not. And so I hope this is the new standard with O'Hara's police department, as opposed to the white guy standard versus what happens with black people. Jaeger is called Redman in racial epithet during the altercation, according to Redman and yet another witness, the complaint said. In an interview Tuesday, defense attorney Peter Wold said his client is dealing with mental health issues that he's going to address once he's post bail and is released. Mental health issues, and he has two guns, at least that we know about. That this is once again the admission from his own lawyer. He's got mental health issues. But thanks to the Republican Party of Minnesota, even someone whose own lawyer is saying, yeah, he's got mental health issues, they can build an arsenal. They can build an arsenal. I think we're really lucky this did not end, you know, horribly for Redman and possibly other people. Wald said he was proud to serve as a Minneapolis firefighter for 24 years. He regrets that if his actions reflect badly on them. I got news for you. No one's going to remember you're a Minneapolis firefighter after this. Charges say that when questioned by police after his arrest, Jaggers said his anger went sideways when he saw Redman drive over a board near his garage and then demanded the board be picked up. So I want to stop here, okay? Because this clearly is someone who might be mentally compromised. Redman drives over a board. It's not like he threw the board out there and then drove over it. just a board in your neighborhood. He drove over it, and he got upset about that. Barely 30 minutes before the incident behind his home, Jagger stood outside. So this is 30 minutes before this incident with Redmond. Before the incident behind his home, Jagger stood outside a Minneapolis fire station on the north side and fired a handgun. What? Or as Republicans call it, responsible gun ownership. Screw you all. Apparently, this called to a police report. How is it that the fire department didn't immediately grab him and say, you fired a gun indiscriminately in the air. We need to call police. Okay, so say he fired it into the air. That bullet's coming down somewhere. Did someone get shot by a mysterious bullet from the air? Did he shoot it at someone's private property? Did he shoot it at a building? Did he shoot it at a house? Did he shoot it? Where did he shoot this round off in, for God's sakes? Don't you dare come back and say this didn't do any damage. Dear Lord, at the best you can hope for is that it only hit a car or a house or a fence, which is still a pain in the ass for all the owner of the car, the house, or the fence that has to go get it fixed, or a business. God forbid this idiot aimed this gun in the sky and blindly fired it off, because that bullet comes down somewhere. He explained later to police that he went there to lift weights with his former fellow firefighters and fired a shot because I thought it'd be a funny thing to do so. Once again, the Republican Party of Minnesota is doing everything in their power to make sure this guy who brought a gun to the gym has a full access to an arsenal of weaponry. Dear Lord. The criminal complaint also read the county attorney's office said it has yet to charge Jagger for that gunfire. Fire Chief Brian Tyner told the Star Tribune that Jagger's drove up to the fire station, told firefighters there he had a gun, grabbed it from his pickup truck, fired it in the air, and took off. So he fired it in the air. Because Lord knows that will never come down. A public works employee nearby first alerted police to the gunfire, Tyner said. Tyner said Jagger's worked at the station for many years, retired from the department with a clean disciplinary record. The criminal complaint gave his account of the shooting involving Redmond. Bystanders pointed out Jagger's to arriving officers who drew their guns and ordered him to the ground. But Jagger's, with a shotgun in one hand and a pistol on his hip, said he was not getting on the ground and walked closer to the officers. Now, so let me ask you the question of what would have happened if Jagger's was black and had a shotgun in his hand and a gun on his hip, and the police came there and gave him orders to drop the weapons, and he said, and get on the ground. He said, I'm not getting on the ground, and walked closer to the police. How many bullets would have gone into a black man in that situation? 40? 50? Now, once again, O'Hara seems to be trying to deal with this stuff. This could be new policy. This could be new training. We can always hope that that's the case. But there is a track record here. And the reality is the same people who are sitting here, many of the same people who are sitting here praising the police's tepid response to this, timid response to this guy with a gun, would be the same exact people who, if he was black and had 50 rounds fired into him, saying, he got what he deserved. You should have followed what the cops said. And once again, I don't want to say, before you sit there and say, well, he didn't comply. When the police told him to put the guns down and get on the ground, he said no and walked towards the officers. Okay. Jaggers, who does not have a state-issued permit to carry the handgun in public. Duh, God, duh, this just gets better and better, doesn't it? So wait a second here. Now you have a guy who does not have the carry and conceal license. Well, I don't think there's a carry and conceal for the shotgun. I think that that's just carrying a gun. But doesn't have a license. Can you imagine what this would be like? What the alternative world view of this would be if he was black? He'd be dead. He was illegally carrying a gun. He was a gangbanger. He got what he deserved. Like I said, I hope this is your new policy. No one died. Person arrested. Everyone's safe. I think we can all say good police work. But the difference between scenarios in past experiences with black suspects and white suspects here is unfreaking believable. After he was told to drop it, he eventually did drop the shotgun, drew the firearm for the holster, dropped it to the ground. Police announced continue-ish commands. But then he continued to refuse. Now, let's also say this. Let's just say this entire thing unravels the same way. And the guns are no longer in his hands, and he still is refusing. If that was a black guy, they could still put 20 rounds in him, and most of the far-right people would say, well, he wasn't doing what they said. They need to shoot him. I'll be the same people here. Like, what a talented, soft, gentle touch. Thank God the white person was saved. I'm just calling you guys out. It was at that point they started with the tasers. He ran, was quickly tackled and arrested at that point. Among those who witnessed some of what occurred was Tracy Olson, who shares a 5-year-old son with Redman, who has lived in the same block as Jaggers for 20 years. Olson said she was playing outside with her son, saw Jaggers, her neighbor about 20 years, speeding down the street in his pickup truck before pulling into his alley driveway. He soon heard things hitting the ground coming from his area, and then I heard a shotgun, another gunshot, maybe 5 or more minutes later. So apparently he'd fired off, I'm not sure how many rounds, it sounded like multiple. Olson said she scooped up her son, fled to a neighbor's home, was soon joined by Redman. He was disheveled, eyes wide open, and reeking of gasoline, Olson recalled. He embraced me and our son, crying, Tracy, that man tried to kill me, that man tried to kill me. Redman told police that Jaggers said to say goodbye to your 5-year-old, according to the charges. Olson said she and Redman, who lives elsewhere in Minneapolis, didn't know anything about Eric, and we don't have a history or anything. Olson said that Jaggers' hate and anger came out during a violent and aggressive racist words he was trying to engage to attack and kill, tell us. Terroristic threats and a hate crime are very serious parts of this. I actually, considering this is the same Minneapolis Police Department, can we make this point? Have we had enough of the Bob Kroll era officers who have enough of them said, I got PTSD, I'm retiring, I want my $150,000 check, and have left? Is that what's going on now, and that we actually have a core of police officers? Because here is, in chief, if I may be bold, here's the problem you're going to have from this point forward. If you do have a shot black man in the city who hadn't done 1/5, 1/10, 1/20 of what this guy did, the question's going to come on out. Well, why was it when the white guy had the gun, was firing off rounds, was using racial epithets, was refusing to comply with police, was threatening police with firearms, was at a fire department and firing off rounds? If that's the case, then why was this black man shot? I hope, I pray, I really just pray for the decency of humanity that this is the beginning of a new police department, that this is the new standard, that O'Hara is indeed bringing in change. The unfortunate part is we won't know that for sure until an African-American who has done half of what this guy did is arrested without being shot, without being beaten in the street, without being fired upon without justification, any of those things which the Minneapolis Police Department has had a habit of doing, such as putting knees on the back of necks of suspects. We'll see. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950. Pound for pound, no one has more Rush music as bumper music than Matt McNeil and the Matt McNeil Show. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Seriously, it's. I've made these guys, how many of these songs do I make you guys listen to? Pretty much a good chunk of most of the albums.
Yeah, you definitely have your quota filled.
Well, maybe I need to get back into Clockwork Angels. That's a good album. I need to pull a few more off of that one. 952-946-6205. Hey, I see Catherine Kirsten has another editorial in the Star Tribune, or as I like to call her, KK. Anyway, Catherine Kirsten, I'm not going to read the thing here. I just want to point out one thing about this, because this whole editorial is about how you don't want to know what those Democrats are going to do. They're changing it, making it an anti-racist platform where they're changing ideologies and it's blah, 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 blah. At no point in her editorial does she make the comment that racism is bad. At least I haven't seen it. I read through the thing like three times saying, seriously? She didn't? Because, okay, let me explain how things used to be in this country. You could say to yourself, hey, we all agree racism is horrible and it needs to be taught. You need to show people what racism is. Now, I disagree with what the approach is of the Democrats. Ta-da! See how it's done there? I don't think anywhere on there she... I didn't see it. But it does bring up an interesting mentality towards the Republicans today, because they really are broken. Republicans today are really freaking broken. And you know, last week I talked about how the Republican gun culture is based solely on the "I'll show you," because guns for them are about basically winning arguments. They're not about safety or the betterment of society, or it's about "I'll show you." That's why do you think conservatives love Yellowstone so much? I mean, seriously, you have the story I just spent a half hour on, where, what was that? That entire thing was, "I'll show you," wasn't it? Upset about a person driving over a piece of wood in an alley? Talking about, say goodbye to your five-year-old. What the? Using racial evidence? That's the, I've lost the argument, but I've got my gun. I'm going to win this argument. And as a matter of fact, went and got a second gun. "I'll show you." Shooting down in Kansas City of, and a quick little side note here. Can I just say that I get kind of frustrated with how conservative media puts this out there. And I know this might seem like a subtle thing, but it's not. When they sit there and say, "Homeowner shoots black kid." The narrative is there. It's, they just had a shooting of two cheerleaders. I don't know if you saw this. This is down in Texas. Two cheerleaders went to a car, thought it was their car, got into it. It wasn't their car. Got out, apologized, went back to the other car. The guy from that first car followed him and shot them. Shot them. Now, the individual who's the shooter seems to be of Hispanic heritage. And the two cheerleaders were white girls. And of course, it's this tragedy of an out of control gunman shooting two innocent kids. That sort of mentality. That's how it's being sold. When you go back to the Kansas City shooter, when you say homeowner, the implication is there was defending of the home. There wasn't. This person came to the wrong door. He got gunned down. Also, let's make sure we use the dog whistle stuff. The Republicans, when they sit there and say homeowner kills black kid, what they're basically trying to say is, hey, it was justified. It was a black kid. He was the homeowner. He's just defending his house, for goodness sakes. So if I can bring that out, a much more a fair way to describe that would be deranged elderly man shoots state-recognized bass clarinetist. And if you say it like that, the first thing you say is, sweet Jesus. Yep, and that's how you should say it. Because that's what happened. You have the I'll show you mentality in guns coming through, which is, you know, horrible. And speaking about the Kansas City shooter, you know, the stories that keep coming on out here keep alluding to the fact that there was racism. As a matter of fact, this was, where was this in the story? Clay County prosecutor Zachary Thompson said at a Monday press conference that the case involved a racial component. Now, there's the obvious racial component of a white man shooting a black man, black kid. But they are not explaining any further. So clearly something else was said or done here that they have evidence of. And my guess would be is a belligerent, elderly, deranged white man sat there and said, there was a blank word on my porch and I took care of business. Would anyone be surprised? Okay, that's your official statement? Okay, well, this is a racial crime now. I will also point out, as this whole thing's going on, let's go to McCurtain County, Oklahoma, where we do have a little bit of justice here. One of the county commissioners that was recorded basically calling for hitmen to kill off journalists and to bring back lynching of black people has resigned days after an audio recording sparked outrage. Earlier this week, a recording emerged let's see here. Just got to scroll through my briefs here. Earlier this week, a recording emerged with the McCurtain County Sheriff Kevin Clardy and McCurtain County Commissioners discussing hiring a hitman to kill members of the local newspaper and complained that lynching was no longer acceptable. After a national outcry, the state's Republican governor, Kevin Stitt, and you got to be careful with that one, encouraged all those involved to resign. Instead, on Monday, the McCurtain County Sheriff's Office announced an investigation into those who made the recording, claiming they were the ones who broke the law. And by the way, I've actually seen now multiple people saying, oh, no, you met in a common meeting place. That's legal in Oklahoma to record that. As of Wednesday morning, local KTNN news reported that one of McCurtain County commissioners had resigned. Mark Jennings, he was the worst one, who represented District 2, announced the resignation but did not say much more than that publicly on his social media pages. The Idabel resident was recorded specifically saying he missed the days when a county sheriff could beat up a black man and throw him into jail. It's like somebody wanting his job, they don't realize, like, your job. I heard it the other day. I said I heard 2 or 12 people were going for sheriff. I said, blank, let's get 20, said Jennings on the recording. They don't have a blank clue what they're getting into. Not this day and age. I'm going to tell you something. If I was back in the day when former county sheriff Alan Marshton would take a damn black guy and whoop his ass and throw him into a cell, I'd run for blanking sheriff. Which, once again, here's another little gem. Hey, can we go back and look at the arrest reports from this Sheriff Alan Marshton, who these guys are so comfortable in private talking about how he went out and racially profiled black people and beat them up for no reason? Dear Lord, this is ugly in McCurtain County, Oklahoma. Sheriff Kevin Clardy replied, yeah, it's not like that anymore. And here's where things, and this is, I want to bring this up because I brought up the I'll show you with guns. But there was another line here that he said that I think runs deep within the Republican Party today. Jennings lamented, "I know, take them down to Mud Creek and hang them with the damn rope, but you can't do that anymore. They got more rights than we got," is the exact term. Now, what? Are you saying white people are being lynched by Mud Creek? Because if that's happening, you probably should stop that. I don't care. Or what you're really saying is this. In a world where you've had societal racism boiled down from top to bottom, where sheriffs can go on out there and basically talk about, you know, how, you know, beat up black people just because they want to be beat up, or hiring hitmen to kill off journalists you don't like. When you've grown up for 200 years in a society where white culture thinks you can do this to black people, and finally you say, no, you can't do that anymore, these fools think they've lost rights because they can't lynch black people anymore. They can't murder journalists anymore. They can't just randomly grab a black person and beat them up anymore, because that's the way it was. It was that way for so long, and now we can't do that. So they got more rights than we got, because not because they have more rights, but because you've told them you can't lynch them anymore. We are seeing the true ugly underbelly of what the Republican Party has become. And I don't blame guys like Michael Broadcore for screaming at the top of his lungs saying this cannot be what our party becomes. But unfortunately, I don't know how you stop this. Take a break. Come on back. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. Let's get him on because he's been on hold forever. Dynamo Dave from Duluth wanted to chime in really quick. Go ahead, Dave.
Hey, thank you, Miraculous Matt. Hey, a couple points. One is, you know, when the elections come around, for some reason, these police unions endorse Republican candidates, which doesn't make any sense when you consider that police officers are getting shot by, you know, people with assault weapons and stuff like that on the street. And where are these police unions? Why aren't they lobbying the federal government for licensing of firearms? I mean,
well, because, and Dave, know, and Dave, if I can jump on in, and thank you very much for the phone call. Let me just jump on here, because basically they feel as if they're going to get more money and more support from the Republicans, so they will tolerate a certain amount of police officers being gunned down by the loosey-goosey gun laws the Republicans champion, just for the sake of that. And the reality is that, you know, I think that they, if you, it's, this is only going to get worse. This is only going to get worse. In this case, I mentioned earlier, that wasn't a black guy that was lipping off to the cops. That was a white guy with two guns. All right? And you think that that's, you know, we had the shooting that happened out in Pope County. This is, you know, hey, sure, they're going to give you, you know, all the money so that you can wear stormtrooper type of body armor everywhere you go as a cop. But maybe, just maybe, they should really show they care about you by making sure that assault weapons and guns are not available like they're lollipops on the corner store. All right. So, the Republican Party is broken. The Republican Party, earlier today, I saw Marjorie Taylor Greene basically get into, you know, she basically made an allegation that was just, you know, a far right-wing thing during a meeting, and basically was immediately reprimanded. And I look at Marjorie Taylor Greene, and this is the same Republicans who look there and say, whatever happened to decency in America? And here comes Marjorie Taylor Greene with an unprovoked, god-awful, disgusting personal attack based on lies. And the first thing those same people were, whatever happened to decorum? What happened to decency? Are like, get him! Get him! Yeah! Because this is what the Republican Party has become. It is nasty attacks, personal attacks. I'll show you. It's protect racism. whether that's not even mentioning racism is bad, or going out there and saying, don't you miss the good old days when we could lynch people? Sweet Lord. You have the Republican Party of Minnesota who are out there saying we're going to call the cops on drag shows promoting bigotry. You've got them out there talking about the occult and you know, summoning Beelzebub with your mirror, which has got kind of a design they don't approve of, I guess. I don't know. You have Republicans out there saying, you know, marijuana, you're going to take marijuana away. You're going to take sugar away next. Sugar in this country? Seriously, dude. Seriously, stop. Stop. Have a Snickers. And then come on back and realize how insanely stupid you are for suggesting something like that. It's all culture wars. It's all pettiness. It's all throwing around. I posted the video of the guy attacking the beer aisle at a grocery store in Kansas, but he's not even attacking Bud Light. He's attacking Busch Light, which really, come on. Unless you're going after Special Export Light, really, we're down to, is it really beer? Anyway, he destroys a whole bunch of Busch Light, not Bud Light, but he doesn't care because he only is there for the culture war. For the I'll show you, for the nastiness, for the bigotry, for the racism. And if you say to yourself, well, Matt, I'm not that, then why the hell are you not running that crap out of your party? Because it's everywhere in your party right now. That is who the Republican Party has become. This disgusting blob of ugliness. And if you are not actively out there campaigning against it, like a guy like Michael Broadcorp, then you're complicit in the expansion of the disgusting nature of what you've become. Bon appetit. Native Roots Radio, that's up in the 6. Have a good one. We're back tomorrow. Till then, see ya.